Hysteria is brought to you by Ritual.
Sometimes my skepticism serves me well. As a Pisces, I can be a little bit gullible, but I do know when something is too good to be true. If the gossip is just a little too good, maybe you want to measure twice, cut once before you start spreading that gossip around. If you can spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job, congratulations, you're a skeptic. Ritual knows that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality traceable key ingredients in clean bioavailable forms. Only about 1% of supplement brands are USP verified, and Ritual's one of them. So you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO, project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. Ritual has industry-leading sustainability standards to help select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Ritual is female-founded B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people on the planet. I personally love my Ritual Essential for Women 18 and over. I have a couple medications I have to take. Usually they need to be on an empty stomach, but I can take Ritual however and wherever I am. So I don't have to worry about, I need to wait until breakfast and then I'll take my vitamin. And then you're busy and you've taken your shower and you're out the door and you're like, I forgot my vitamin. So anyway, I take it first thing. I boil myself a little water with ginger because I have a sensitive stomach, and I take my vitamin. I take my vitamin every morning, and I also, several times a week, take the Symbiotic Plus Gut Health because, again, a little bit of a sensitive tummy, and I find it helps me just get through the day a little bit easier. So no more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/hysteria. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/hysteria for 25% off. Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And I'm Sammy Sage.
Yes, that's right. We're so excited to have Betches co-founder and host of American Fever Dream and Morning Announcements, and my friend Sammy Sage filling in as co-host. Welcome to Hysteria, Sammy.
Thank you. I am like the most thrilled to be here. I've been looking forward to this for at least 2 weeks now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I'm just very excited to talk to you in a structured format about everything that's
going
on.
We're going to see how structured it gets at this point, because how many news stories broke even while I was just putting my headphones on this morning? But mostly, Sammy, did you see Jack's back? Jack Schlossberg has made his return.
I did. So many people sent this to me with literally Jack's back. And I'm like, wow. Okay. I'm just so glad he's okay is my first thought. I was worried about why he was, you know, put in timeout or whatever now it seems.
Right.
But also, like, can I ask your opinion generally on this whole shtick?
Yeah.
I'm firmly a believer that he is fully performing this whole thing. Like, it's only a persona, and like, he's not actually like any of this. But I know a lot of people who really think he's like this. Like,
I think it's a little meat in the middle. Right?
Right.
Well, I think that there, a lot of this, I think a lot of the election and the JD and the Usha stuff, I think that's performance art, and it's funny for what it is. But this, I mean, Sammy, look, I mean, I have a show with an actual segment that for the past five or however many years called Sanny Petty. Can you think of anything pettier than Donald Trump shutting down the Kennedy Library?
Well, okay.
I mean, yes.
No. Yes, I can think. I mean, taking over the Kennedy Center might be one.
That's the thing. He's not stopping. Is this all just because Caroline wrote a very good letter about why RFK shouldn't have been confirmed, and now anything Kennedy is getting ruined and shut down?
I don't think so. I think that what he wants is to displace the Kennedy name and their synonymousness with American royalty and American greatness, and make that Trump in people's heads. So as many notches as you can knock down the Kennedy name, thanks also in part to his most recently confirmed cabinet member.
Who we're going to get to.
We must. thanks to that as well. I think that's part of, I think it's more about like supplanting his own.
Okay.
The Kennedys with Trump.
With Trump.
With and Trump. If you don't call it, you know, fast forward, who knows how long, if you don't call it the United States of Trump, he's going to kick your news outlet out of the press pool.
Wow. You know what? I bet you're right about that, Sammy.
Well, I hope I'm not.
Today we get into the mass firings and dodgy Doge things going on. We talk about some lighter news, including some reboots we're all a little excited for. And with Sandy Petty, Suzanne Lambert, and Caroline Reston join, and we get into White Lotus prequel theories and the Birkin economy. Okay, let's get to the show. Welcome to Hysteria, the podcast powered by SSRIs. Okay, Sammy, it's been too much. We're just saying it's too much. But I need to give you a quick survey of what was in my feed this morning. Trump and Musk did equal parts boring and insane interview on Fox last night, trying to convince the world there's nothing to see here. Donald's not threatened. Everything's okay. It felt 100% like when couples do the Arc Digest cover and then they end up getting divorced in like 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh! Wait, on that sort of related note, have you ever seen the account on TikTok? I think it's Georgie X James that does Vogue wedding to quickie divorce pipeline.
No,
it's kind of like that. But the thing with this is that I actually feel like these two, not out of like fondness for each other. I think that they need each other. They don't really, they're sort of locked in this this Faustian bargain that they've made, that they each get to sort of be like the one and two most powerful, but they have to counterbalance each other in some way.
But right.
What I'm really puzzled by is Judge Tanya Chutkan went along with this statement that Elon Musk is not really running Doge, but they didn't offer up a because XYZ person is. They just were like, okay, sure.
It's like, here's the thing. I think it's like a real nuance thing because he's only a special governmental employee, an SGE, and they technically aren't people with the power or authority to run full things. You know what I mean? They tend to be sort of support. They come in for support or like issue area expertise or something like that.
Well, this is sort of what gets at what I find frustrating and foundationally impossible about dealing with what's going on.
Yes.
Is that you're talking in real world legal terms, like that would hold up in a court of law if everyone were playing that game. But they want us to run around in circles being like, but you can't be a special government employee, but also running Doge, but also not running Doge because you were working more than like all these. They rely on us to lean on these like real logical assumptions. But and in that time that we're trying to like be the meme of the woman doing the math problem, like how this doesn't make any sense, they're destroying everything in the meantime. So that's like where they're at this huge advantage. And I don't know, it's like, how can you both fight it with serious institutional tools and when someone is just totally disregarding that?
And they are. Speaking of, it gets even – the thing that's – like, Sammy, here's the thing. Like, you know, everyone who listens to this podcast has heard me say, when I worked in the White House, but it's true. We were so busy. We were trying to do good things. And here is one I did not see coming. I'm trying to go to bed last night, and I have really tried to change my bedtime routine. I turn the TV off, I go to bed, I watch The West Wing because that is the only non-traumatizing television that I can really watch right now. But I looked at my phone and saw that Donald Trump sent the special envoy for special missions, Rich Grinnell, who I guess is no longer the person running the Kennedy Center anymore because he had been given some role over there too. He sent him to pressure Romania. Yes, Romania. Why do we care about Romania right now, Sammy?
Because Andrew Tate is being held there.
Mm-hmm. That's a priority. In the morning meeting, Sammy, when they get together at 7 a.m., Andrew Tate's on the agenda.
You know, You know, the thing here is that there's obviously some reason that we just aren't privy to yet about why this is a priority. And we'll figure it out. We'll find out why this is important enough to have there. I believe there were two separate occasions on which this has been brought up with Romanian officials. But
yes.
But you know what I really did you happen to see what their response to us was? Us. I mean, not
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I did, but please. I did, but please, please, yes. Please. Please they do said, the dramatic reenactment.
They said, we don't have anything to do with this because there is due process. It's like, damn. Imagine
way
that.
To stick it to us. Yeah. So, okay, that's what's happening in Romania. Now it's like we can just pop over to Ukraine where Trump, Sammy, he said that it was Ukraine's fault. It was invaded by Russia.
And that Zelensky is a dictator just a few minutes before this we got on here.
Did he?
Yeah,
did he? Zelensky. That mensch is now a dictator.
Look, he's just setting up Zelensky to be the hero of our time or not. Who knows? You know, depending right. on how things go for him, he might go through some things, as they say. It's very much... I mean, this is typical Kremlin propaganda moves.
Right.
And I think we see what's happening here. They're trying to strong arm him because he's continuing to step up and say, we need an army for all of Europe. And I don't know. I feel like they're going to defend their way of life. While Trump and is making him an offer they can't refuse and blaming them for being invaded.
Blaming them for being invaded, but then saying, did you catch this? That Trump was saying that Ukraine owes us $500 billion and that they can repay us with like minerals and natural resources.
That's the offer they can't refuse.
That's the extortion they can't ignore.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what they're doing to like, that's what he's using these tariffs for. It's
right.
to try to just... economically, impair any country that might stand up for these democratic liberal values that he so loathes.
And also, we have not spent $500 billion in Ukraine. It's tens of billions, which is not nothing, but it's also not 500. And, you know, if I were Trump and I dodged a bullet in SDNY and from Tish James by, the fact that I have been inflating numbers my whole life and on my real estate investments, I don't know, maybe I would get a little bit better at not inflating so much, but it seems, I guess, critical to his DNA, and that's just what he does.
I mean, somehow we went from $50 million worth of alleged condoms sent to Gaza to $100
million forgot about that.
Within the span of one sentence. So, or maybe it was over like a day. I don't remember exactly. But, what are numbers? What are facts? What is reality?
What is reality?
What is measurement?
Speaking, wait, we got more. Did you see the very jazzy new IVF executive order?
I saw that there was one, and I don't like it. It's very Handmaid's Tale vibes to me.
Right?
And the father of
IVF did his, I mean, there has to be grifting in this, right? This is a pro
or
life IVF EO, right? How's he going to make it more affordable? Is he going to get big insurance to pay for it?
Yes, or tax cuts, or tax, some sort of tax rebate if you do
rebates. IVF. We don't even have eggs yet.
Well, you have a different type of egg, so and it's all you'll ever have in your life, already in your body. Ready
and
to be harvested.
We have to keep our eyes on this one. We have to keep our eyes on this one because this one feels shady as fuck. It was scant on details, as most of these EOs are.
Because aren't they kind of just press releases on some level until it becomes enforced by a happening or a budget?
Right. And then it's sort of like, I mean, the fundamentalness of all EOs is like, do they stand up in court? And to the Constitution.
What is a constitution, Alyssa?
Oh, I know. It's just a little piece of paper we keep in our pockets.
Well, not
remember
everybody.
Remember to remind ourselves of the good old days.
Not everybody.
Wait, and then there was another EO this morning, which this one was like, This felt super dictatory. He is, well, actually, of course, anytime he's seeking greater authority, but Trump is seeking greater authority over the agencies Congress specifically made independent. SEC, the FEC, the FCC, and one of my personal faves, the National Labor Relations Board. Why would Donald Trump want more visibility and authority over the NLRB?
Well, I think part of this is making the American populace, specifically the working people who voted for him, completely desperate and at mercy. And, you know, if you look at the other organizations, the SEC, that's the finance industry. The FEC, that is the federal, any election to come up.
Yep.
FCC, any communications. And if you look at, like, the way these things map onto the verticals of society, they want to take over all of them. And but even though this executive order is particularly press releasey in its language, it's also doesn't it's like even more important for that reason, because he can't actually do anything with it except state this, and then it will get to a court.
Well, it's all part of the thing, right? Think of, like, just the FCC in particular. Because what's he doing now? He's trying to sue 60 Minutes.
Yes.
He's trying to sue 60 Minutes. He's trying to get people fired at 60 Minutes. He has already got his settlement from ABC. He has gotten his settlement from Meta. This is like Sopranos level shit. It's like you got to pay your price.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Tim Miller who was saying this. I don't remember on what show, but, like, if these people who are in positions of power, billionaire donors, I think he was talking on Democratic donors. He was talking about if those people are too afraid to continue to donate to the Democratic Party.
Yeah. I heard him say this.
Yeah.
Too.
It's going. Like you have to people who have this power have to stand on the front lines. And I do think it is particularly embarrassing that people who have the most in society, the most power, are less inclined to stand up than the average federal employee who seems to be holding the line, and if not potentially more motivated in some cases. So it's very, when you think about the pandemic, it was the essential workers and the nurses who took the brunt of it. And that is just what happens. It's so depressing, truly.
It's so depressing, truly. And you know what's bad about being depressed?
You need medication.
SSRIs. So RFK, like, moments after he was confirmed as the Secretary of Health and Human Services, the White House sent out the EO Heard Around the World that talked about, you know, we're just not sure that people really need these. We are going to, what are they doing? They're getting a panel of I don't know who. Will it be Dr. Phil? Will it be Dr. Oz? Who's going to be on the panel? These drugs that they are talking about, SSRIs, medication for mood disorders, for anxiety, for depression, for all the things that this particular administration is really doubling down on with a lot of people. They want to convene a panel, I'm putting it in quotes, to just decide whether or not we really need these, or if we're better off without them.
Where's the panel convening? Is it Peter Luger's after RFK Jr. goes and kills a bear in Central Park,
in
allegedly?
The park?
Or was that after he went to Peter Luger's and then went to LaGuardia Airport? I still remain baffled by this story, really obsessed with the geographics of that night. But listen, are they next going to say that diabetics are addicted to insulin? Like, this is about control. This is it's about so much more than, like, mental health. They obviously don't care about mental health if you look at these individuals who are part of this administration. And it's just so rich to me that, oh, God, Kennedy is really such a dishonest grifter.
Yes.
It really drives me up the wall of all of them.
I agree. The most. He's the one who I think can do the most damage.
I mean, I guess it kind of depends. I guess probably to like people's real, you know, practical everyday lives. But what really worries me is like, how do you then communicate to people that this is his doing? And, you know, especially because right. he seems to have such a hold on this Maha cult. And right. it's not even like this is the first time in America that people have like, I guess, kind of fall into illogical scams
right.
and anti-science. But it's really scary because, like, he wants to take us back to the medical knowledge of the 1850s to match the civil rights ideology of the rest of the administration. But, like, he's one day away from saying that leeches should cure your ailments.
Oh, shit. God, that would be such a tough thing for
me. Have you seen that video where he's, like, has the bugs on him?
Yep. But it's, like, I think the thing about him that is the hardest is that the thing that's the hardest is that he can sit in a hearing in front of Maggie Hassan, right? And he can talk about mifepristone and how it needs more studies. And she's like, you mean like the 40 studies here? And she entered them all into the record. And I think that's the thing, that the enough is never enough. The proof is never actually proof. And, you know, while we're talking about our least favorite anti-vaxxer, worth noting as we're talking today that the West Texas measles outbreak, Sammy, it's up to 58 people. According to the Texas Department of State Health Services, 13 of the 58 are hospitalized. And in Gaines County, the most affected, 1 in 5 incoming kindergartners in the 2023-24 school year were not vaccinated.
But what we have to ask ourselves is, what has mentally, ideologically infected people to believe that this is to believe this enough and to have enough distrust in the government and in medical science to, like, what has failed us? Is it the education system that people don't understand the value of empirical study? It's very, like, RFK is an end result of something that is so insidious, and I don't even know how to handle it. It's because it's cultural.
I have seen so much of the Maha of it all on TikTok.
Yeah.
Is that a problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean,
but even before, like, that, it started before that, though.
Well, definitely.
Maha's like a result. That's the thing, is like what we're seeing now is the result of such a breakdown that has been going on for so long that it's like that we could get to this point. And I just want to understand, like, culturally, what is going on with people that they are impenetrable to facts.
Yeah.
And also, like, the pro-social piece of, especially when it comes to vaccines, of, like, herd immunity and protecting others. Because that's why I'm like, there's another piece of this which has to do with the antisocial uncaringness of the way people are functioning.
Right. No, I mean, this is, it's hard to understand how, it's hard to see how this unwinds.
Yes.
Right? Everyone's getting all wound up. And it's like, okay, but at some point, like, is it going to take a crazy measles outbreak? Well, because Donald Trump won't take credit for that. I mean, he won't own that. And so he'll blame it on Hakeem Jeffries or somebody. But, like, on top of all of this, he continues his purge of the federal government. And we've seen it. The Forest Services employees have been sent out. USAID employees have been sent out. So I heard today they were talking about the acting commissioner of the Social Security Administration, Michelle King. She resigned after 30 years of working for the agency. Do you want to know why Trump thinks that she needs to go, why Social Security needs to be overhauled? Because they say that there's this huge scam going on of millions, Sammy, millions of dead people, millions of people using dead people's Social Security numbers. Sammy, There are only 70 million people on Social Security.
Well,
don't
also,
you think this would have become a thing before? Like, what?
Well, the thing is, when you hear the reason that this lie has been perpetuated, it's actually even more embarrassing. It's because the Elon Doge kids don't understand the programming language that's used by the Social Security Administration called COBOL.
Yep.
And so they were misreading the data fields. And then because they don't actually care, and neither does Elon Musk, they just say it. And to me, the most embarrassing thing is that they are able to make such stupid claims and no one thinks they're dumber because they made them instead of fact-checking them. Like, and then you can really be like, wow, this is the biggest genius and he has the best and the brightest working on his team. It's like, they don't even understand math. They don't even care enough because they're not trying to do that. I always have to come back to that. I'm always like, well, they're not actually trying. What they're doing is is intentional. They don't and that's, I think, the hardest thing to like wrap your mind around, because how do you express that to people who are just hearing the facts and believe them? It's just an enigma within a riddle, within a mystery. Is that the line?
Yeah, all the things. And then, oh, wait, there's one more big one. Jim Jones, the head of the food division of the Food and Drug Administration, also resigned this week. He stepped down after 89 staffers were cut from his division, many of whom were highly technically skilled in categories such as nutrition, infant formula, and food safety response.
What I would love to know is, part of the MAHA platform is it emphasizes that our food is really like unhealthy and that there's all these additives. And why would we then fire the food people?
I don't know.
Well, okay.
I don't know.
I do. Because their answer would be like, well, these people have been poisoning us because they're part of the federal government. And then I get to another fundamental issue. It's that like Americans, especially the 90 million people who don't vote, or so, they don't understand like what the federal government is and what the civil service is and like what the bureaucracy is. It's just sort of this like bad word. Now one that fits in the category with a democracy, according to Elon Musk, because he's so smart. Like those are like what? Conceptually?
I don't know.
Fucking moron.
It's a moron.
Anyway.
Stick to cars.
No, don't. Don't.
Or don't.
Actually, because, like, I can't deconstruct this man right now. But, yeah, I think that they have just poisoned in the minds of Americans, the idea that the U.S. government is trustworthy and does anything good. And that's why when they dismantled USAID, you can't just start explaining the concept of soft power and why that actually keeps you safe from foreign attacks and why you're not being bombed at this very moment, one might say. Like, you can't just suddenly flip the switch on that for 100 million people who don't understand. And again, back to the education system, that has been deeply broken down. And I don't know. It's just overwhelming.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What are some of your relationship green flags? You know, we always hear about red flags, but what about the green flags? I have a friend who is dating a man who is just nothing but a green flag. He is thoughtful. He makes her dinner. He asks her how she is. He asks how he can help. He's just basically like a fully engaged participatory partner. And I love that for her. But whether you're dating, married, building a friendship, or just working on yourself, it's time to form relationships that love you back. Find all the green flags. For me personally, over the years, I have had to hone my green flag, spidey senses, I guess maybe you call them. Before meeting my husband, a lot of red flags. A lot of, like, when people don't This was a different time and a different place, right? This isn't, I'm not reading people's emails, I'm not sharing locations. But when people would tell you they were going to be someplace and they ended up being someplace else, it's called lying, and I should have thought of it as a red flag. But, you know, I didn't, and so now I talk to a therapist about why I didn't back then, so I make better choices as an adult. I have found therapy has given me tools for calming my anxiety and giving me some breathing techniques and helping to identify triggers, which are not always as obvious as you would think. BetterHelp is fully online, making therapy affordable and convenient, serving over 5 million people worldwide. Access a diverse network of more than 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties. Easily switch therapists at anytime at no extra cost. Discover your relationship green flags with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/hysteriapod to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/hysteriapod. Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast that's happy Pope Francis finally called out J.D. Vance. Sammy?
Well, Pope Francis is in the hospital.
Hanging
with
on.
Double pneumonia.
I know.
I don't love that, but I hope that he's okay. He's in my thoughts.
Me too. Me too. And he's the good Pope.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
I mean, from where I sit, he's one of the best that I've seen. I hear there were some pretty fucked up popes back in the day. No offense.
Did you? But, it's okay. You know, no one. I don't think anyone's taken offense.
I don't know. Not at this show, but.
Did you see the whole thing about, like, J.D. Vance and going to Notre Dame?
In jeans?
In jeans?
What's weird to me
sort
about
of monster.
That, the thing with that is, like, if John Fetterman showed up to Notre Dame in jeans, I'd be like, okay, he's just, like that. But J.D.
Right.
Vance usually looks pretty polished. So it almost read as very disrespectful because
that's how I took it too.
Yeah, this is a person who dresses pretty formally most of the time.
And also, so like I went to Notre Dame with my family, right? I was in jeans. It was like 1988.
Well, you're not.
But he's just like the vice president.
No one's taking like, pictures of you there. I mean, maybe
it was an official visit. And then they said that like none of the official clergy came out to greet him.
Yup. I think. Well, it didn't seem like he was too keen on them either. I don't know.
What's wrong with him?
Weird.
It's like a misanthrope.
What's wrong with him is that they want to stick it to Europe,
right?
While also criticizing them for giving up their Western values. The propaganda is propaganding. It mm-hmm. all is just like so backwards. It hurts.
Physically hurts.
Yeah.
It's like he just. He's the worst of the worst, but you know what?
Sammy, is he though? I don't think he's the worst of the worst.
I think he's pretty bad.
I think he's
because
one
I think
of the
he's
worst.
Smarter than look like
he's savvy.
Elon is the most destructive.
Yes, that's
right?
Why. Yeah,
Elon's the most destructive. Trump just doesn't give a shit. Right.
Well, Trump is the face. Like,
right?
He. The thing with Trump is that while he personally is not the one who would do the things that we aren't in favor of personally, he is like, I don't want to say he's fully a puppet because he does have more control over some of the people that,
right.
that you know, than that term would imply. But they use him because he's the one who can rally the base and he's the right. one who has the following. Elon Musk does not have the same sort of hold over people that he could maintain okay. for years. He's not that charismatic, sorry. And
not that J.D. Vance is charisma in a bottle.
No, he's actually not. And that they all have weaknesses, but they are able to use Trump as the face to achieve their ends.
Yes.
So as soon as his usefulness goes away, they'll try to screw him, but he'll try to screw them back just as hard. So it's again, like, this is not normal. This is mafia-style governance.
Well, Sammy, what can I say? We're here right now. We're just going to do a little lighter news. Things that are going to make people feel a little bit good.
Oh,
right?
Okay. You want me to lighten up? Okay.
Just like, let's...
okay, well, let's do light. Let's do light.
No, not, I'm just kidding. Don't light. I need you to be you. But there were some stories, especially that some of our listeners on the Hysteria Discord sent when I was like, there must be better things. One that apparently didn't make the cut was the possum that ate the whole chocolate cake at Costco and lived to tell the story. I was very proud of that little guy. I mean, doing what we got to do, it reminded me of Miranda. Remember when Miranda took the chocolate cake out of the garbage can?
Yes. That's not a behavior I've ever done before.
You haven't?
No. I'm joking.
I mean, I was like, me neither.
No, never.
You always have to put the dish soap on top. Otherwise, there's a chance if it's not touching anything bad, you might just go back.
That's how you know your mother was once on a diet. Yeah. Mine preferred to throw water on the food, personally.
That is, I would say my mom put the good food on a really high shelf.
And you guys.
And you know what? Once I was little, and I heard my mom like yell in the middle of the night. She was like, ow! And I get up and I'm like, what's going on? I run into the kitchen. She's like holding her mouth. She's like, I broke part of my tooth on a frozen Snickers. And all I could say was, we have Snickers?
You were hiding them?
You're hiding them in the freezer. But anyway, okay.
Well, listen,
here's a good one.
Say, just
what, tell
one
me.
One more point on mothers. My mother, as you know, I'm on my Zepbound journey and
yep.
It's working. And my mother, when she sees me, she looks at me like I have personally resurrected Jesus. She treats me, I can't wait to get you new clothes. It's like, you're going to get me what are you talking about? Like,
they're moms of a certain age,
moms
right?
Moms of a certain age. And I'm like, I thought we established we don't do this anymore. Because I asked you to stop commenting on this. She's like, yeah, I did stop commenting, but now you're really thin.
No, she was like, I commented when it was I stopped commenting when it might be negative. But now, Sammy, she is supporting you.
Right, but it's like, okay, You're missing the whole point of positive reinforcement.
Yeah, I know.
We know.
We know.
But yeah, moms of a certain age.
Moms of a certain age.
Almond
certain
moms.
Times. Okay, here we go. Here's some lighter news. Howard University made history last week when the American Council of Education recognized the university with a Research 1, an R1 Carnegie classification. To receive this award, a university must annually spend $50 million on academic research and produce at least 70 research doctorates. Howard University far exceeded both of those requirements and now is the first HBCU to achieve this status. Happy Black History Month and go Bison!
Good for them. Good for them.
Kamala Harris.
I like that. This is good. See, these are the types of things that I would like to over-index on in my brain.
Right? But wait, Sammy, did you hear about Denmark, what Denmark wants to do?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's a great idea.
Tell listeners about it.
So, as we know, Trump wants to take Greenland from Denmark. And they're like, no, you can't do that. But so instead, some Danes have created a petition aimed at getting revenge on the United States by giving us a little taste of our own medicine.
God bless.
Taking, right? Like, it's
enjoy yourselves. We deserve it.
So they want to seize the state of California. I think that was the right state choice, right? Like, if I were taking a state,
I agree.
The biggest economy, you become suddenly the fifth biggest GDP in the world because you took
totally.
California. So basically over 200,000 people have signed this petition, 200,002 after Alyssa and I add our names to it. It claims, quote, we'll bring Higgy to Hollywood, bike lanes to Beverly Hills, and organic smørrebrød, I'm assuming that's a type of Danish bread, to every street corner, and states rule of law, universal health care, and fact-based politics might apply.
What?
Right?
Can we move to California when this happens?
This is the future liberals want.
Here's the question. Do you think that California would even object?
No. It sounds like what they've been trying to do.
Yeah. Like, it's true.
That is LA in the nice parts. You know.
I mean.
But they want to give it to everybody. That's the difference.
We support this. We say, please make us healthier in the best way possible.
But you know, the thing is, like, this goes back to Let's Move with Michelle Obama. where this was of such deep offense to people that you're in the nanny state, that you they dare suggest you exercise and relax, that that's like what this we've been dealing with the reaction to.
And you know, a little bit of our own medicine is not going to hurt us.
As long as it's been approved by the FDA.
Ba-dum-bum. Okay, lastly, in entertainment news, this one, Sammy, this one got me good.
Yeah.
I know, look, I saw the Little House reboot got very dramatic because Megyn Kelly obviously never watched the original Little House and didn't know that it was among the wokest shows ever made and was like, don't wokeify it. It's like,
she did not
watch the episode where the rabbi came to town and had to understand the rabbi's son was marrying Mrs. Olson's daughter, Nellie, and they had very specific religious views. And guess what? They learned about each other's culture and then had twins. It was amazing. They did everything. And I still think that the episode when Ma Ingalls almost cut off her own leg was because she was in perimenopause. just going to say. But now we have Warner Brothers has confirmed that Goonies 2 is in production, which may be exciting for some. Goonies was not my movie. I did not love Goonies.
I don't really remember Goonies because I saw, like, this is one of those movies I saw in camp when I was like too young to like really remember what I watched. So, but good. I'm glad. You know, we need more remakes of old movies, don't we?
Well, the one remake, I don't know. I think that, like, I'm anticipating it because I love the original so much. Sammy, bringing St. Elmo's Fire back, Man in Motion, John Parr, like, the best soundtrack.
Yeah.
Mariel Hemingway in her scuba suit, as Rob Lowe used to call it. Rob Lowe. I forget what year. St. Elmo's, I think, was
something in the
late 80s. So I was maybe 10, 12, 13, something like that. And I'm just walking around being like, the kid can't fly on one wing, which is Rob Lowe saying at a party that he needs another line of cocaine. and like Demi Moore just like losing everything. And then they're all outside her window being like, this smells like a little bit of self-created melodrama. Like it is so good that it is the reason I applied to Georgetown. And so I hope they come back. I mean, I think everyone's still alive. I mean, Judd Hirsch looked a little rough the last time that I saw him. He was not Alec. What was his name? Alec in the movie, I think. Alec.
That would happen, though.
But they're going to be older.
Yeah.
They're going to have families. It feels almost like a version of the TV show 30-something aging up, but I don't care. Bring it back. Give Rob Lowe beautiful hair. I hope they're all messed up because now I think it'll feel so relatable.
I think this is going to work because the actors like can pull it off. And
right.
I think they can all, like, they're all ready for a rebirth kind of situation.
Annie McDowell, I mean, Emilio Estevez, Andrew McCarthy, like, they're ready for another moment.
Exactly. And I hope, like to me, like, they're following in the Demi Moore mold of it all.
Yes.
I hope that they don't botch the soundtrack. You know what's interesting? This is also a movie that I saw in camp, which is now it's connecting to me, for me. My counselors were about, like, the age difference that we have. So that's what they would choose to show us.
But of course.
But now I'm realizing, I'm like, I don't think I must have not understood those movies at all.
Probably not. There was stalking. There was drinking too much. There was a love triangle.
I gotta rewatch it.
It was great. So anyway, I'm excited for it. I hope they do it justice.
I hope they do too, but I feel good about it because rather than try to remake it with a new cast that can't recapture the situation.
No.
It's like they can because it's them.
Right. And it feels like, and I'm also like, is this going to be like Big Chill vibes? Is it like, I don't know.
Who's directing?
I don't know who's directing, but we will be tracking this story closely. And with that, we have another break here, but we'll be right back. Hysteria is brought to you by Naked Wines. Guys, I'm not a cool wine person. I know what I like. But when I get to a wine store, sometimes I find it very intimidating. And I go in and there's some finance bro in a fleece vest talking about oaky notes. And really, I just want to ask the sommelier-ish type person there, what's not going to give me heartburn, right? What am I going to digest? What's a nice light red? What's a white that's going to go down like water? Okay, I'm not cool. But you don't have to be cool with Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a service that directly connects you to the world's finest independent winemakers so you can get award-winning wine delivered straight to your door. Use our code Hysteria for the code and password at nakedwines.com and get their incredible deals of 6 bottles for just $39.99. The last time I got my 6-pack of Naked Wines, I got such a lovely assortment and they're all gone. I mean, I'm not telling you that to make you worry that I drink too much because I shared them with other people, but everybody loved them. Nobody felt too tanniny the next day. People weren't like, oh, I had headaches. Everyone had a lovely time. The wine was delicious. It wasn't expensive. It's super convenient. And I guess we're just curious, like, how do they do it? Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard-to-your-door delivery at up to 60% off what you'd pay in the store. By cutting out the traditional retail middlemen costs and markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality. I mean, truly, the quality is amazing. We love it. We gift it. It's good for everything. It's good for everything that you need for wine, except that you don't have to go to the store and listen to anyone talk very snottily about the sort of finish they like in a wine. You can do that too with Naked Wines, but I'm just saying, if you're just like a normal person like me, it's very easy and delicious. Naked Wines has been around for over 15 years and funds over 90 independent winemakers around the world. With no commitments or membership fees, you can enjoy Naked Wines hassle-free. And don't forget, you can pause or cancel at any time. So just because you've got a trip coming up doesn't mean you can't enjoy Naked Wines before or after that much-needed vacation. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/hysteria, click enter voucher, and put in my code Hysteria for both the code and password for 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off your first 6 bottles at nakedwines.com/hysteria. And use the code and password Hysteria for 6 bottles of wine for $39.99.
Hey, it's John. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics about how to fix this mess. We're doing it again, November 5th through the 7th in Washington, D.C., with even more podcast panels and workshops. Plus, there will be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get your tickets at CrookedCon.com, where we'll also announce the lineup. If you're a Friends of the Pod subscriber, a limited number of discounted tickets are still available. Get them before they run out. See you at CrookedCon.
Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast that still is not entirely convinced that butter is not a carb. I'd like to see the data. First, some announcements for the class. This month, Vote Save America is making donations as part of their anxiety relief program to Black-led organizations and candidates of color helping us gain ground at the state and local level, like Power to the Polls and the Black Male Initiative, which are working to change the way we organize Black, Brown, and working-class communities to drive voter turnout. Or like Kimberly Pope Adams, who's running for Virginia State House seat this year, a prime opportunity to expand Democrats' one-seat majority. Set up a recurring donation at any amount that feels right for you, and Vote Save America will use it to build progressive power in 2025 and beyond. Go to votesaveamerica.com/donate to donate now. Paid for by Vote Save America, votesaveamerica.com, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Okay, everyone, now let's get to the Sanny Petty. We're feeling extra Sanny and Petty this week, so we decided to bring in some backup for this segment. Just a lot of benevolent white ladies here. First, our beloved senior producer, Caroline Reston, is joining us, and Caroline's going to introduce the woman who I feel may be bringing the Petty even to Sanny.
Thank you for letting me crash this segment.
Abby.
with Sammy on, who, you know, I've, not to be creepy, been a longtime fan of yours, and then newly a fan of Suzanne. I'm like, I have to insert myself into this friend situation. So thank you for letting me join. I'm so excited to introduce Suzanne Lambert. She is a content creator. And if you are on TikTok or Instagram, you have probably seen her content everywhere. She's the mean girl of the Liberal Party. She's taking on politics with that mean girl energy, which is like exactly what we need. And Suzanne, I'm curious, like how, like what, was there like a moment that inspired you to just get mean? Like how did you decide that that was going to be your approach to politics?
Yeah, really, it was after the election and just, you know, channeling all of the anger and rage I think all of us were feeling. I just wasn't really seeing anyone in the media matching the extent of my rage. So I figured that if I wasn't going to see it represented by someone else, then who better to represent it than myself, really? I was just mindlessly scrolling and nothing was hitting. So I kind of just recorded on a whim and it took off from there.
Wow, that's amazing.
Nothing hitting is the epitome of the Democratic Party.
Right? Just... I'm like, the memes weren't good. The jokes weren't funny, lacking punchlines. I was just like, y'all, we got to do something a little different, right? If it's not better, at least it could be different. That was kind of my thinking.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Why do you think mean girl energy is like the tone and angle that just like really, like, why do you think that's hitting right now?
Because I think it's the opposite of how Democrats are perceived, whether that's something that we have painted a picture of ourselves or our conservative counterparts have done for us. And I think it's a little bit of both, right? Because historically, conservatives have loved to hit back anytime we've taken a stand on anything or defended ourselves in any certain type of way. They've said, oh, well, I thought you were the party of love and kindness and peace. Scroll through my comment section, scroll through any comment section, and you'll see that, right? So I think by coming outwardly in front of that and saying, well, you thought wrong. We're not. There's a lot of us, and there's a lot of us that are, and I love them as well, but there's a lot of us that aren't, and we've been biting our tongues, and we're not biting our tongues anymore, unfortunately for y'all. So I think it's a culmination of all of those things, as well as people just being really upset at how this administration is just going on a rampage with new executive orders every day, it feels like.
Yeah, it really feels like you're bringing a personality back to the Democratic Party. I feel like we've been totally lost of any sort of bite or personality.
Which is wild because we have, on the left, we have art on our side.
Yes!
We have comedy. We have humor. We have actors. Like, we have pretty much all of the creative people who you'd ever want to listen to are on our side. But instead of tapping into them, we've tapped into just, like, dorky political consultants. And I love dorky political consultants as well, but they can't be everything that we're doing. There's enough of those. Let's make some funny content. Let's make some entertaining content, and I don't know why we haven't used that to our advantage before.
Well, I think it's a whole new world now, too, right? Like, if we go back, what is it, 8 years, however long it's been, I can't keep track, when Michelle Wolf did her ever funny,
oh, yeah.
the smoky eyes made of lies, and even normal, you know, her, remember Sammy, the eyeshadow,
yes,
at the correspondence dinner?
Guys,
that was objectively one of the funniest jokes. And everyone, including liberal women and members of the media, got so up in arms. And I was like, they're like, you don't make fun of a woman's appearance. I agree. Except now I think it's different because they have laid it all bare, right? Like, there is no – Sammy, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think that, like, don't – like, policing the joke was
right.
Actually what bit us in the foot. I don't know. Bit us in the ass. What do you say?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Bit us in the ass.
Yeah,
bit us in the foot. That feels right. Gross and right.
Bite us in the – yeah, whatever. That, I think, is part one of the problem. And then because they were like, you guys are too nice, they got super mean,
yeah,
which has now translated to, like, a deeply fucked up antisocial situation going on in America. But I think the reason we have to now be mean or just honest, is that they're fucking mean. They're just like so fucking mean. And like in a way that they're like, I want you to die. I mean, I don't want to speak too broadly or too extremely, but there is a deep lack of giving a shit if people do die and about anyone but oneself. And right. I think that like, okay, if you want to make fun of their makeup, like, oh no, what, like, whatever shall I do? Like,
right.
You watched my contour.
Also, wearing a cross the size of the actual Christ, like doesn't make you Christ-like.
Christ the Redeemer statue.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, did they borrow that from the National Cathedral? Did they have to take out an insurance policy before they could wear it around their neck? It's political theater.
Suzanne, it made me think of like such the blasphemy of like the 80s. I was like, that looks like something from the, like a prayer video.
It looks like me when I was 4 and growing up Catholic, you would rummage through and try on the rosaries. It looks like me playing in the rosary drawer when I was 4 years old, which is also sacrilegious, and you're not supposed to do that.
So. I should make them so pretty then. I say this as a Jew. I don't know much about this.
Okay, so let's get into our petties. Who's going to go first? Sammy, you're going to go first.
Okay.
What are you feeling petty about, Sammy?
I'm feeling petty about, did everyone follow what was going on with Elon Musk and his newest most newly revealed baby mama this past weekend over Valentine's Day?
A little bit. Save it for you. I knew you might have something here, so I didn't pay too much mind.
Yeah, so Elon Musk has another child, it seems, apparently, allegedly, I don't know, by this woman, a conservative influencer, someone whose Twitter was really heated up. You know, she grew a lot of followers. Her name's Ashley St. Clair. And she'd been in Elon's DMs for like a bunch of years. If you go back all the way, because then Milo got canceled. And now he's back. He then posted like an old screenshot of her in his DMs, like in Elon's DMs, like 10 years ago, like being like trying to like talk to him. And Elon replied to that and was like, wow, about his own baby mama. And then she replied because he wrote, wow, why are you ignoring me when I've been trying to contact you? We've been trying to contact you. I don't know if we is her and the baby or her and the lawyer.
Already has a Twitter account. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she replies, she's like, why are you answering this person, Milo, who posted pictures of me as an underage minor when I was 15 years old? I don't know what happened with that. I haven't seen those. But anyway, and you're not replying to me. Then her lawyer put out this statement, like, on behalf of her, which was, like, Elon and Ashley have been trying to figure out what they're going to do with their baby, with their life, and please, like, respect her privacy or some shit, even though it seems she doesn't care about privacy that much, because she did this spread with the New York Post about who she is, and in it, she was barefoot. Posing in her apartment. So you can find that on like one of those feet websites, I'm guessing. And and now she deleted her comment about why aren't you answering me? And I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see. I think she's screwed and I don't care.
Wow.
But also a lot of people are accusing her of being a Mossad agent, though I've never personally met a Jew with the last name St. Clair. I don't know. It's crazy. I host a podcast called American Fever Dream, by the way. And this is this seems like it is.
This is fever dreamy.
It was. And there was someone on Twitter who posted what I think was the most astute comment, even though she was like, I think like a trad wife, MAGA lady. So on Valentine's Day, Elon Musk went and met with Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India.
Oh, yeah.
And he brought his other baby mama, Siobhan Zillis, who's like more in his circle.
Doesn't she work for him?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't do anything but work. So that's his circle. And she has two kids. And they came on Valentine's Day to this Modi meeting. I don't know why. And that's this person tweeted, like, I think what led Ashley St. Clair to like put this out there is because she was pissed that he was with this other woman on Valentine's Day. And also she posted a photo of herself with the kids and Elon replied with a heart. So it's just really like, it's also, did I mention that Ashley St. Clair is in her late 20s?
What?
Oh, sorry. Forgot to.
What a mess.
This is the man who is like running the government right now. It is so fucking crazy.
But he's not running the government, according to the court documents. Oh,
right. Of course.
Right.
Someone wrote this really funny thread that was like Elon Musk's wives or ladies explained as like a Chinese harem. And each one is a different concubine. And like Grimes is the like upstart favorite. Siobhan Zillis is like the perfect one who will never have the emperor's heart. And Ashley St. Clair is like the one who comes in and like gets beheaded because she thinks that she doesn't understand.
This is
how
like the
work.
Musical Six.
It really is.
Yeah.
There should be one about Elon Musk and his wives.
There should be a parody one that we put on and we can be the wives. What do you guys
think? That's a lot of Elon. You know a lot about Elon.
This is just one thing that I know.
I know. You're going to have to come back and tell us all the other things.
I don't think I want to talk about him anymore.
Wait. Okay. Suzanne, what are you feeling petty about?
Well, sorry, Sammy, because my petty also has to do with Elon Musk, naturally.
Oh, no.
It's Elon adjacent. I hope that's okay. Take all the time you need. But so I'm sure y'all saw that Robert Garcia, who he's representing California in the House of Representatives, made comments about Elon Musk being a dick. And they were hilarious, obviously, went super viral because, again, we don't normally see Democratic politicians speaking like this ever. And it was incredible. And now Nancy Mace is threatening to censure him because in his what he said, we need to bring actual weapons, I think was the quote. And he's very clearly, ironically, not talking about actual weapons. He's clearly talking about literary weapons, right? Weapons in a metaphorical sense. And I guess it might be too much to expect that they would understand a metaphor over there. They can't really figure it out unless it's spelled out right in front of them. So she is threatening to censure him, which I just find super interesting, given that their whole emphasis on free speech that they often equate with hate speech and just people should be able to say what they want. But God forbid someone says it against them and says it in a way that's incredibly compelling and entertaining. They don't like that and they want to shut it down as much as possible. So that's my petty. And I just can't
see. She is busy.
Yeah.
She is busy doing nothing good.
Yeah. Starting with that, the nose contour that looks like the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz.
That's so
the only
funny.
Positive is that maybe doing this could maybe give her less time to do her horrendous makeup application that I find personally offensive as a fan of The Wizard of Oz.
It is offensive. It's like, I don't understand how you are a public figure and can't get your shit together. Like, what? Like, I don't know how rich she is, but when rich people are ugly, I'm infuriated by it. It infuriates me to my bones.
Yeah, but Nancy Mace, I find her to be one of the most interesting psychological studies in Congress, because what is going on there? Like, this is a woman who gets up every day, and I believe she thinks she should be at the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
I mean,
that's her energy. Like,
Sammy, Boebert walked so Mace could run.
Yeah, but like in a different way. Like, it seems more authentic coming from Boebert. I can't explain it. Like, Boebert doesn't look for the problems. Nancy Mace is like out there treasure hunting for things to make a big deal about.
Sammy, I completely agree. And I think that was her calling. Like, I think she should have just done reality TV or just done theater. Like, she seems to me like a weird theater kid who just wants to create drama out of nothing. And to some extent, I identify with that and I get it, right? But that's why I do stand-up comedy. Like, find an outlet that doesn't involve being hateful 24/7 as an elected official and just go try out for a reality TV show. I think she would be great at that and she would have made really compelling TV, but now she just looks nuts.
Can I pitch an idea to you? Okay.
Please.
So I had thought of this a while ago that like we should start something called the Congressional Retirement Caucus. And basically all the like big, the really olds who are just, you know, Diane, the ones who've died, you know, like they, I thought of this a while back. So there should be like, I thought that we should create like a pseudo Congress where they all go and they think they're doing laws and they think they're doing Congress, but because they're so old, they just, they're, they don't realize that this is like a retirement home and they're faking it. And then the rest of us are doing like real Congress, but they're out. So I think similarly, what if we set up a congressional reality show caucus and all the ones who are doing performances can go to what they think is real Congress and we can all watch them on, they can have a channel, they can have a C-SPAN of their own and they can get the attention they so crave, but it won't actually change the legislation that that affects our lives.
No, I'm obsessed. And to be fair, I feel like they would prefer that as well.
Yes.
Right? I think absolutely. They would maybe like it more.
Right. That's what I think. It's like, go do what you're calling.
Yeah.
Right. Live your best life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do what you were meant to do, which is political theater. And then you don't have to like do the boring stuff where you have to, you know, file forms and sit in the fluorescent lighting in your offices and kind of chill. Because the lighting in there is bad. Like, I do feel for them. The lighting's not great.
That's why they can't do their makeup.
Terrible, yeah.
That's, and I think it would make them better. I do my makeup in fluorescent lighting so that wherever I go, it translates.
But theirs is overhead.
That's amazing.
So
yeah, that's an important distinction. I'm with you. I think we pitch it.
Okay. Let's do it.
I'm for this. All right, I'm going to do my petty, and then Caroline, we'll get to you. Mine's very quick. It made me so mad that I just couldn't. Senator Mike Lee. You guys, right before we started recording, he introduced the Healthy SNAP Act. Okay. There are so many things about this that are just fucking wrong. First of all, Michelle Obama. Let me just say, Michelle Obama, I love you. I see you. I know you tried to make everybody healthy and they mocked you and they tried to run you out of office and made your life miserable when you were on this 16 years ago, number one. Number two, this actually isn't about just making all the kids healthy. It's not about making all kids healthy. This is about SNAP. SNAP is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, food stamps, right? So what they're saying is, the two reasons this makes me so fucking mad. One, they're saying anyone who needs food stamps, anyone who needs SNAP benefits, clearly needs guidance. And we clearly need to say what foods you can and cannot buy on food stamps, as if people who need SNAP don't know. And it is such a cynical, depraved view of people who do not have enough money and who need help. And I take this to my heart because when I was growing up, I was a bagger at one of the only grocery stores within several miles that took WIC and food stamps and stuff like that. And you know what? One, kids just want to be fucking normal. They want to have the thing like all the other kids have. And if someone's going to buy some Hostess cupcakes once, like to put in their knapsack, I don't give a shit. Why would we give a shit? You're literally, the way that he has the language in this bill is literally like, we can't trust you. We can't trust you. And let me tell you, as a 15-year-old who sat there at the checkout line and had to go through, it was easier back in the early 90s because it was just taxable versus non-taxable grocery. And so people would say, ugh, people shouldn't be allowed to buy Sunny D. You shouldn't be allowed to buy Sunny Delight. Really? Really? Well, they can't afford orange juice and it has as much vitamins and minerals as they can possibly get. So
and fucking
who cares?
Tastes great.
It's honestly delicious. So who cares? And there I was, just this like 15-year-old little person being like, hi, I'm really sorry, but you have to put that back. We have to put that. We'd like use the little divider and put like the stuff they were going to have to pay cash for behind. And I just think that like, why don't we put more money into like universal basic income or school lunches and making sure that kids can actually eat? But this was just so, it was so, everything they do, cruelty is the point. But this to me was just like them saying, we can't trust you. After they accused Michelle Obama of nanny stating all over the place, they're like, people who need assistance, we can't trust you to make good decisions, so we're going to make them for you. And I just, I hated it so much, it made my skin itch. And that was my petty, Mike Lee.
I'm debating if I should go into like a whole rant about like the ideology and the way that wealth signals and the way that people in the upper classes look down upon people in the lower classes, and that the way that they use certain status symbols in order to perpetuate those stereotypes. Or I could just say that Mike Lee should go to the Congressional Reality TV Caucus, where he can get all of his fucking attention that he wants.
Yep.
Because
let's
if you've read this man's Twitter, based Mike Lee, all he does is troll all day. This is him trying to get into the MAHA crowd, in my opinion.
Yes, no, totally agree. Totally agree. All right, Caroline?
Well, my topic is incredibly different than everyone else's. It is
That's not the point. Political.
Okay, okay. I just want to prepare you guys. This is not, you know, this is a true petty. Are you watching White Lotus? Are you White Lotus fans?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not, but continue. Sammy's already
love it. It makes sense that you don't watch
even.
It.
Oh, I know.
Go watch it. Just.
I'm always behind.
The world away.
Yeah, I'm always. It's next on my list after catching up on Love is Blind, I promise.
I just almost caught up last night on Love is Blind. Okay. So White Lotus should have been my sanity corner because it's like the show I most look forward to. And like Severance only has like a few episodes left. So like what I am currently living for in this moment is White Lotus. Like I have nothing else but to be excited for this show. So this Sunday, you know, the first episode premiered, sat my ass down in my comfy cozies. I had a nice little glass of red wine and I was ready to lose myself in Thailand. And, you know, the cold open happens and then the theme music comes on. And I'm so excited to just like fucking rage to that theme song. And then what happens? It is a completely different theme song with none of the original like beats or melodies or like the iconic. It's all gone. And I like really tried to get into it. I was like kind of trying to like, okay, like I could like dance this in a club. Like Tiesto maybe could like remix this in some way. No, it is like a flatliner. And like, I know this composer is like, is an amazing composer. Cristobal, I think is his name. But it's really hurt my soul. And I was not prepared to not have that song of the summer be taken away from me, and it's been really upsetting. And like, it genuinely makes me less excited to watch White Lotus every week. Now, granted, the season finale or season premiere was amazing, so good, but that theme song being taken away was like, why would Mike White do that to us? He knows we love that song. He knows it.
So the White Lotus is my sanity corner, and can I give you some hope?
Okay,
just for the future. Okay, so. I don't know how many times you listen to the new song, but I listened to it 3, maybe 4 times. It does grow on you. That's number one. But even more importantly, there's a trailer from this season that has at the end of it like a little clip of what should be the Thailand version of the ooh. So
maybe it's coming, Caroline.
I think that maybe they're going to build it in. Possibly, because I also don't like, if you think about Mike White and the way he makes TV, he doesn't just cut things away that are important and relevant right. And like meaningful. So my feeling is like, I also can't understand the thought process behind getting rid of that beloved song. Like no other theme song got that response. So I think I'm holding out hope that maybe this was just a We're on, you know, they're making us wait it out, and they'll bring it back.
It does add to the theory that this season is a prequel to the first season, if the first theme song is different.
Can I ask what the evidence for that is that isn't, like, I know people say that, have said it, but, like, what's the evidence for it?
Well, I think it's, like, Natasha Rothwell's character, like she's still so sunny and bright after season one, where she like her whole life was kind of destroyed by Jennifer Coolidge's character. Like she's coming in with a sunny attitude, and that feels like maybe a little incongruous to where we think she would have been. And then also like the reveal of Jennifer Coolidge's husband being
the hot
girl from the bar's husband or boyfriend or whatever. There are some theories floating around, and I am listening.
I'm going to look for those.
Okay.
I could be so wrong.
You could
be wrong. I mean, it
wasn't
even my theory.
Alyssa's like, there's no way.
Well, it feels hard to me, but I am not, I don't
know. You know what I'm going to do?
Because I actually thought Jennifer Coolidge's husband would have been dead by now because I thought he had some sort of disease, didn't he?
He was lying.
He was lying.
Oh, I missed
but also, this also
I mean,
gives
he's
you
a scammer.
Hope. This gives you hope that Jennifer Coolidge could be in this season because in this part of the world, she's still alive.
Right.
Maybe. I think in the timeline.
Maybe, but also I feel like what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into season one and I'm going to try to see if anything Belinda says about her son sounds like it's pre or post this.
Smart.
And I think that would be how you'd figure it out or
gonna Nancy Drew this shit. I'm into
I am
it.
Nancy Drew. You know, all you right. should have me working for Doge. I'll bring out the fraud and the waste. I know where you start. You start with all of the, what is it, $1 trillion in taxes that rich people don't pay? Is that, or,
yeah.
No, sorry, 100
yeah.
billion? I don't remember.
People don't need to pay more taxes. They just actually need to pay,
pay
the taxes. Just
yeah.
pay your taxes. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with Sanity Corner.
Hysteria is brought to you by Mosh. The older I get, the more I find myself wanting to be more intentional about the way I live, eat, and take care of my body. The old adage, you are what you eat, rings very true to all of us in the modern day, and I am always looking for an on-the-go protein snack that satisfies me, but now I found one that helps me live intentionally too, Mosh Bars. Mosh, which you may have heard about on Shark Tank, was founded by Maria Shriver and her son Patrick Schwarzenegger with a simple mission, to create a conversation about brain health through food, education, and research. Maria's father suffered from Alzheimer's, and since then, she and Patrick have dedicated themselves to finding ways to help other families dealing with this debilitating disease. Mosh joined forces with the world's top scientists and functional nutritionists to go beyond your average protein bar. With 8 delicious flavors, including a plant-based one in peanut butter and chocolate, each Mosh bar is made with ingredients that support brain health like ashwagandha, lion's mane, collagen, and omega-3s. And now, Mosh comes with a new look and new formulation featuring a game-changing brain-boosting ingredient you won't find in any other bar. Mosh is now the first and only food brand boosted with Cognizant, a premium nootropic that supplies the brain with a patented form of citicoline. But here's the best part to make you feel good. Mosh donates a portion of all proceeds from your order to fund gender-based brain health research through the Women's Alzheimer's Movement. Why gender-based? Why gender-based? 2/3 of all Alzheimer's patients are women. You heard that right. 2/3 of all Alzheimer's patients are women. Mosh is working closely to close the gap between women and men's health research. So, personally, I love these bars. I talk about it on the show, but I am definitely in the throes of perimenopause. My brain fog is real. It is something I have become keenly aware of, and it has prompted me to really reexamine what I'm putting in my body to see sort of what small tricks and tricks I can do to make myself feel better. I love my Mosh bars. I actually have a medication I have to take first thing in the morning on an empty stomach, and 30 minutes later, I need to eat a meal to lock in that medicine in my stomach. Every day, it's my Mosh bar. I'm not really a morning eater, so this has been a hard thing for me until I figured, like, maybe let me try one of these bars. But I love the cookies and cream. I love the blueberry almond. They're great. 10 out of 10, recommend. If you want to find ways to give back to others and fuel your body and your brain, Mosh bars are the perfect choice for you. Head to moshlife.com/hysteria to save 20% off plus free shipping on the bestsellers trial pack. That's 20% off plus free shipping on the bestsellers trial pack at moshlife.com/hysteria. Thank you, Mosh, for sponsoring this episode.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast whose mental health is hinging on the new season of Love is Blind. I feel this. I can't wait for my Love is Blind. Okay, I'm going to go first because I think
Mine's charming. So Sammy and I obviously text all the time, and she was skiing, and I was loving her skiing videos. And I, as a middle-aged woman who is fully in the throes of getting her hormone replacement therapy onboarded but still has problems sleeping, I was like, Sammy, I love your skiing videos so much. They're so soothing. When I get stressed, I just like close my eyes and I listen to Sammy skiing. So Sammy, being the beautiful friend she is, had her husband just tape like several minutes of her skiing so I could just lay down and close my eyes and listen to one video after the other of just Sammy skiing. You guys, you go to her Instagram, you can't get enough. It is just a shush, shush, shush. It was so great. And every now and again, I'd open up my eye and I'd be like, she's still there.
Oh, thank you. Wow. I am like, they do get a little hypnotic after a minute.
Hips totally hypnotic. I was like drifting off, and I had taken all of my like dreamy magnesium and my progesterone, which puts you in a little hypnotic state. And then you're just like, I was like, wow, this is what living's like. I felt like Matthew McConaughey. I was like, I'm living. This is great.
Sammy, your legacy. That's incredible.
That is. I'm just saying. All right, Sammy, you go next.
I was honestly going to say The White Lotus is keeping me sanny. And it's not just that this is my favorite show, because I love any sort of like class commentary, love watching rich people be obnoxious and potentially corrupt, preferably corrupt, really.
Sometimes dying.
As long as it's on, you know, in a scripted drama, that's my favorite thing to watch. And what's keeping me sane about it is that we have like, it's not a monoculture because obviously this is like coastal elite shit, but it is like something that there's a conversation that helps you like connect with people on something that's not bad and it's artistic. And like Suzanne, like you were saying, like art is, this type of art especially, is like, that's on our side. Like this is what we got. And I really feel that it builds connection between people. And I just love like having something to talk about for 8 weeks with anyone who watches and connects with it. So that's what's keeping me sane.
It reminds me, Sammy, when we were, I missed a lot of television between the years of like 2006 and 2014 when I was a federal employee, public servant. But every Monday morning, the best part of Monday mornings was when Dan Pfeiffer would come into my office with Kathy Rumler, who was White House counsel at the time, and we would talk about girls. Yeah. We'd be like, what happened on Girls last night? Oh my God, did Lena Dunham the, oh no, she used the ear, what, remember the one with the Q-tip?
How could I forget?
I was like, we can't talk about that one. That was terrible. But it was so much fun. It's so much fun to just have something. I mean, look, what are our common points of interest now? It's like, fucking Mike Lee, Nancy Mace. I mean, let it be White Lotus.
I stand by that HBO Sunday is peak America. That was
it is and has been
the golden age of America
for years.
Yep.
Right? Okay, Suzanne.
My Sanny is Jack Schlossberg being back on social media. Yes. Cue confetti, cue balloons. Y'all, I missed him so much. And as someone who considers herself pretty unhinged on social media and just like in general, he takes it to a different level. So I would always kind of use him as my measuring stick of like, you know, from one to Jack Schlossberg kind of.
You
like,
weren't trying to date Usha. Yeah,
right. Like I was trying to date him. But like on a scale of one to Jack, kind of where am I? And I could use that just as a, you know, a guidepost as to where I was. And with him gone, I fear I may have gone off the rails myself. So it's so nice to have him back for that reference point and just that daily dose of laughter because he's goofy and he's so funny.
Goofy, but also like handsome.
Incredibly.
Maybe handsome. Suzanne, you're someone's Jack Schlossberg of am I?
100%.
Yes.
Suzanne,
I'm 100%. Or... That brings a tear to my eye.
A happy tear, I hope.
Okay.
I did miss him.
Caroline.
What's bringing me sanity is this TikTok account called Love Luxury. I don't know if you guys follow them. It's this luxury. You must watch after this. Love Luxury is this like secondhand luxury consignment store based in London and Dubai. And they just resell and buy Birkins and Kellys.
And that's it?
They do other bags too, but they're known for their Birkins and their Kellys. And I'm telling you, this content is like luxury porn. Like, you watch it and you're just like, you can watch these videos for hours because it follows one of two formulas. Either someone is coming into the shop and is asking to buy a certain type of Birkin, and then the sales associate will bring like 10 different Birkins and talk you through each one.
Is this AI?
No, it's real. Or someone comes looking to sell one, and then they talk through the prices of it. And it's shot so oddly. Maybe it is AI, but it's shot so oddly and awkwardly. And like, every person who comes in is kind of a character. Like, this guy came in on Valentine's Day and was like, I need to buy 3 pink Birkins for 3 different women, but I'm not going to tell you why. And they's like, the sales associate just goes through all these different Birkins and Kellys, and it is the most luxurious, like, you, it's like a warm blanket TikTok account. It's so good. And I've never cared about Hermes bags. And now I'm like, I've been so influenced. I'm like, if I don't have a Kelly, like, I don't know how I'm going to like make it in life.
I need to watch it. You better start putting pennies in the jar. I'm like,
it's going to be my question of making it.
Do they retail? I mean, do they sell them for close to retail? Because that's what I always find with those bags. They're usually like not that far off from what they actually paid for them.
No, they like people will buy, like, get their bag from Hermes, go directly to the store, and they're getting like double the amount they paid for it.
So why wouldn't you just buy your own bag at the Hermes?
Because you can't.
Economically.
Alyssa, what kind of question is that?
Alyssa, oh boy.
What?
This is, okay, because you can't. They will, there's a whole thing with like how you get one from,
is this going back to Samantha Jones on Sex and the City stealing Lucy Liu's bag? Okay, that's all I needed to know.
Yes, you
can't
get
one. We're still there.
We're still there. It's like a little bit of a different system now because it's not like a who you know thing. It's like how much you spend and or luck and how much your sales associate likes you. But like, let's say a Kelly costs $10,000, which is it's a little more, but it's in that ballpark from Hermes. If you go to like a secondhand store, that bag could cost, depending on like the color and quality and condition, could cost $25,000 to $35,000. So, and you're only, even if they'll sell you one at Hermes, you can only buy 2 a year to prevent people from buying it and then going and selling it. And if you do that, they'll like kick you off the list or some shit. And it's like, that's how they retain value, even though in my opinion, I think they've been overexposed because of TikTok. But it's a whole fucking thing. And like,
I didn't know.
Yeah, you can't, like, I mean, you can if you want to pay $30,000. I was on vacation and they had like a vintage store. There was a Kelly for $30,000.
It's a whole new Subaru for me. That's a nice one.
It was not even the size of like my screen, my computer screen.
Wow.
Wild.
Couldn't fit a phone, barely.
Okay. All right.
That's your lesson. But I want
to. On that note, that's all for today. Thank you, Sammy, for co-hosting, and Suzanne Lambert and Caroline Reston for making Sani Petty Extra Special. The world needed this week. And listeners, we'll be back next week with an all-new episode. Have a great week.
Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusives like This Fucking Guy, our video series. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Daisy Cruz, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hey, it's John. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics about how to fix this mess. We're doing it again, November 5th through the 7th in Washington, D.C. With even more podcast panels and workshops,
Plus, there will be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get your tickets at CrookedCon.com, where we'll also announce the lineup. If you're a Friends of the Pod subscriber, a limited number of discounted tickets are still available. Get them before they run out. See you at CrookedCon.